The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Good afternoon and welcome once again. This is Paul Orlowski. Our guest today, a very interesting woman with a very interesting story, Sister Mary Faustina. She is with the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word, in Alabama. And Sister, it's a fairly new order. Tell me about the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word, founded in 1987.
Well, thank you for having me. First off, it's a privilege to join you. Our community, yes, was founded in 1987. We are blessed to take both St. Francis and St. Dominic as our patrons. So we strive to imitate them in living out our apostolate, which is evangelization to Catholics through retreats and catechesis. So we have a retreat house here on our property, and then we also are blessed to be invited to give talks at parishes or conferences, and so that's how we strive to build the church up in the spirit of St. Francis and St. Dominic.
Can you explain a little bit, Sister, some of the prayers? I know you use the Dominican tradition, and others you do the Franciscan devotions. Can you explain the difference?
Sure. So in divine office, we do have the custom of praying as the Dominicans do, which is sitting and standing, alternating back and forth. So that is particularly a Dominican custom. We also have a devotion to the rosary, so we're blessed to say three rosaries a day in common, which is also from the Dominican tradition. And then imitating St. Francis, we have a great love for our Lord's humanity, for the cross. And while we do strive to preach the truth in clarity, we also wish to do it in simplicity. So St. Francis, he said, preach using words chaste and sincere, chaste and simple. And so we strive to do that as well.
And these are done in community three times a day?
The rosaries are, yes. And then we gather together for 5 hours of the Liturgy of the Hours in common.
Okay. Sister, tell me about your story. What drew you to this order? And when in your life did you maybe discern that maybe God was calling you?
I first thought of religious life when I was 4 because my mom was reading probably a children's story about St. Therese, the little flower, and it was just a simple thought, I want to be like her. I want to do what she did. So I started apparently saying I was going to be a nun, not really being able to say what that was, but that desire deep down never really left from the age of 4, even though there were different points where it was stronger, where I was being more faithful to it than at other times. So that was the first time I thought of it.
Yeah. How did it grow?
Well, let's see. I kind of always had it in the back of my mind, like I said. But I think in one of the earlier years in high school, I just happened to be by myself out on a walk, and it struck me that everything I had, God had given me. And it seemed that the most appropriate response to him in the face of all those gifts was to return it all to him and to give myself back to him. So that was probably the second time. So when I was 4, it was the first time that it really hit me in a very tangible way. And then maybe I was 13 or 14 that second time. But I didn't act on it until a couple years out of high school.
Okay.
So I think God knew, you know, like he had to give me certain actual graces at different points in my life to keep me focused on his voice and what he was asking me to do.
After that call in high school, was it just kind of something in the back of your head that would surface from time to time and you'd give it some more thought, some more prayer?
Yes, It was until I would say I graduated high school, mm-hmm. and I had a friend who had entered seminary. I had four friends who had entered religious life, and I just thought, you know, Lord, you've taken a lot of my crowd of friends, and so you probably don't really need me. there's a lot of wonderful things in the world, and the vocation to marriage is beautiful, and so I really kind of put it on the back burner after I graduated high school.
Boy, that's quite a circle of friends with that many vocations in that circle of friends. What do you attribute that to?
Oh gosh, well, God's grace for sure. Not all of them were homeschooled, but some of them were. And I grew up being homeschooled by my mom, and I was part of a co-op where about 250 kids would get together and go twice a week. And so I was just surrounded by a lot of really good people, both Catholics and Protestants, who really took their faith seriously. And I would just say that in general, the crowd of friends I was blessed to be around, they were a little bit more intentional about their lives, and they would just think a little bit sooner, perhaps, than the average young person, you know, what is God asking me to do? So I was really surrounded by people who had that perspective, and I just think that really we kind of encouraged one another to actually really be open to what God wanted.
So you say a couple of years out of high school is when it really hit you. What happened then? How did you define the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word?
So I had encountered the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word when I was actually probably 15, because one of my friends who had entered, she entered our community. And so after that, I would come down and visit her, and so I did know the sisters. And then when I was about 19 and a half or so, 19, my granny died, my dad's mom. And so my spiritual director, he's very good friends with my family, my whole family, he called and just was saying he was sorry. He said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing okay. I'm not doing as well as I'd like to be doing. I'm not sure why." And he said, "Maybe because you're not doing God's will." And it just really
was not what
I wanted to hear, but it's what I needed to hear, you know. And so he said, "You've thought for a long time since you were young that you were supposed to be a sister, and you're not pursuing that. You've really put that on the back burner, and how can you expect to be happy if you're not listening to the Lord?" So he said, you need to go on retreat. And he said, "I think you should go to the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word. You know them." And I said, "Well, I don't want to be a sister servant." And he said, "That's not what I said. I just said you just need to go on retreat and be open to the Lord and get your prayer life back on track." And so that's when I went on retreat. It was probably a few months after that conversation.
Okay. How important is that? I've heard this story several times from people, sisters this is. When they've actually gone to visit a community, something changes. The way of life just becomes far more attractive to them, and they end up joining. How important was that for you?
I had known the sisters, so I was just a little familiar with their life. But I would say on that visit, for me, it was a very deep sense or awareness that God was calling me to that life. So I had in the past appreciated its beauty, but I do think that he gave me a grace beyond feeling, right? Feeling's part of it, but for me, it was a deeper experience. It was kind of just like a knowledge that he shared with me that I'm really calling you to this. And if you say no, you're not just saying no to an option, to just one way of life among many, but you would be saying no to the God who loves you. And not that he would be angry, but when he offers a vocation, it's a gift. And so that awareness was kind of growing in me during that visit.
Sister Mary Faustina of the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word is our guest on God Calling today. Stay with us. We hope you will. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to God Calling. Sister Mary Faustina is our guest, the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word. Sister, you're down in Alabama. You have an interesting ministry in that you hold retreats. You have a retreat house, not to be confused with a very similarly named order in the same city, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Well, there's the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word and Mayor Franciscan Friars, founded by Mother Angelica around the same time that we were. But then also Mother Angelica's Poor Clares, they actually are an hour north in Hansville, and they're the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration.
The notes I made here talks about your order as being a community that is contemplative, active, committed to evangelization through catechesis and retreats. That's very important work, evangelization. I'm not sure that as Catholics we always have been the best at that, but that's your job, and it's an important job.
Well, I've grown to appreciate our apostolate more, because I'm not going to lie, when I was a postulant, I had a hard time getting my mind around it, because it says in our constitutions, evangelization primarily to Catholics through catechesis and retreats, and I thought, well, Catholics, they've already been evangelized, like, what does that mean? But I have really learned that so many Catholics, sometimes, oftentimes, not through their own fault, really have not encountered Jesus Christ. And they're born into the Catholic faith, and that's pretty much as far as it goes for many years. So I consider myself really blessed to be part of a community that really tries to reach out to Catholics who may not have been blessed to know the riches of the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what our community strives to do, is really bolster the faith and devotion of Catholics, because if all the Catholics in the world were on fire, the world would look, you know, really different. If I was on fire, right, as I should be, as God's calling me to be, the people around me would hopefully actually benefit all the more. So just helping to bring Catholics closer to Christ so that we can go and share him with the world.
Sister, tell me about the Casa Maria retreat house that you guys run.
Our retreat house, we have two, if you drive up onto our property, you have two wings, and the one on the right is the convent, and then the one on the left is the retreat house. And so we haven't finished building yet, but we do have, let's see, how many rooms do we have? I think we have about 20 retreat rooms. Many of them sleep two people a room. And then we have our conference room, where we also have mass. So it's pretty simple. But we really do love hosting retreats. We're blessed to be able to eat with the retreatants, pray with them, converse with them, visit with them. I like to think of it as when someone comes on retreat, the sisters, we get to welcome them to our home, really. And then we bring in a retreat master who gives the conferences, and we often are providing the hospitality and the food and praying with them, and then hopefully, you know, many graces come from their time here.
Something I read talked about teaching spiritual things spiritually, which is an interesting thought. A lot of time for reflection as well as sharing a meal, things like that.
Yes. Yeah, so our foundress, who had actually been a Nashville Dominican before she founded our community, she pulled that from one of St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different translations depending on which version or which edition of the Bible you pick up. But it's often translated, teach spiritual things spiritually, or things according to the Spirit, teach according to the Spirit. And so what she emphasized to us was that when a sister servant gives a presentation or a conference or a talk, that she wished it to truly be permeated with a lively devotion, so that, yes, the sisters teach the truth clearly, and that's why we have our studies, because we always want to be faithful to the teachings of the church. But that teaching is not meant to just remain head knowledge or just one out of many philosophies that are proposed in our world today, but that it's really to permeate the whole person. And so we really rely on the Holy Spirit and beg his help. So to teach the spiritual truths of the faith according to the Holy Spirit's movement, so to teach them spiritually.
What are the challenges of a vocation director in an order such as yours today, Sister? What hurdles and what blessings?
There are many blessings, but one of the biggest blessings for me is I consider it a tremendous privilege to accompany young women as they're discerning God's will, whether they're called here or not. So when a young woman reaches out, the primary concern is, Lord, how can we help to guide her to whatever you've chosen for her? And oftentimes, you know, I talk to many young women, they don't end up being called to our community. But it's always a privilege to be invited by the Lord to help a young woman come closer to him and closer to fulfilling his will for her life. And then, let's see, challenges. I would say, you know, a lot of challenges are our society suffering from breakdown of the family. That is a suffering that I hear in very many stories. And so have a young woman who really wants to give her life over to complete and total self-giving love, but may have a lot of fear or reservations, or even at the time that I'm speaking to her an inability to do that because of past hurts, a difficulty sometimes in making that commitment and taking that step and just trusting that the Lord, He works with our good intention, right? When, if the best thing that we can think of is to take the step of faith, you know, to trust that even if you're there for only 6 months or a year in a community, that God is going to work very many graces for your good just by that generosity and being open to that gift of self. But that can be very intimidating, you know, especially when you haven't seen a really authentic Christian love being lived out in the family. It's very hard to take that step and to kind of think about making that kind of a commitment.
We heard that over and over again these days, the breakdown of the family, the root of so many troubles.
I do think it's definitely true. The family is really a privileged place set apart by God, created by God, to mold and form people who are able to go out and then give themselves to a family that they start, to society. When that is jeopardized, the foundation is not as solid as it should be. And it does. I think it affects the church and mm-hmm. it affects society as a whole. And I do think that's what we're seeing, right? And whenever you don't have a solid foundation of truth, then the devil, he's very good.
Yeah, right there.
Mixing a little bit of truth with a little bit of lie and selling something that is going to bear that harmful fruit of division or, you know, distrust and selfishness.
Sister, stay with us. We'll be back after a commercial break. Sister Mary Faustina of the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word is our guest on God Calling. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to God Calling. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. From the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word, Sister Mary Faustina is joining us. And Sister, we talked about before the commercial break, maybe the breakdown of families. Tell me about yours. Parents supportive of your vocation call as you discerned it?
That's a great question. Let's see. My dad is a convert, so that's something just to keep in mind. He converted when I was about 4.
Okay.
So, he'd been Catholic for a while by the time I decided to enter, but I do think that his idea of what religious life was rather limited. He didn't have, you know, any exposure as a kid growing mm-hmm. up in Kentucky, where there's not too many sisters around. So he was not supportive in the beginning. My mom was, I'm really grateful, actually. I think she made a decided effort to not be discouraging.
Okay.
But she wasn't able to offer a lot of encouragement. Just at that time, she would just tell me, I don't know if you're really called there. I'm edified that you're trying to do God's will, but that's about all she could offer. So I'm blessed, however, that about 3 years after I entered, my dad came to me and he said, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry that I was discouraging and not mm-hmm. supportive. And I'm not going to say anything like that again. And so for the last 7 years, he's been one of the most encouraging people in my following of God's will. So I really ended up being very blessed by my parents.
With maybe some forces, I don't want to say pulling you away, but not necessarily supporting. Did that make you stronger? Did that really make you want to think about it and really work and to be sure this was the right thing?
You know, it didn't make me want to, but it made me. So
okay.
I didn't embrace that challenge with a lot of generosity, but something that helped me incredibly much was a weekly holy hour that I would do at my parish. We are blessed at that church. My family still goes there some, to have perpetual Eucharistic adoration. And I had a weekly hour on Friday afternoons during my lunch break from work. So I remember one particular day I was leaving, and the holy hour I would spend like this. Between the period that I was accepted and entering, oftentimes my holy hour would look like, please Jesus, don't make me go, for about 50 minutes of the hour. And then the last 5 minutes of the hour, I would pull myself together. I thought I was doing so well. I realized in hindsight I was not, but I would be like, okay, Lord, like, I'll do this for you. And get in my car and go back to work. Well, this one particular day, get back in the car and I'm driving and I was still just having a hard time even getting to that point of just saying, okay, I'll do this. And I just became aware of a really powerful presence in my car, but it was good. It was holy. And I'm convinced it was my guardian angel. And three words, I didn't hear them, but it's like I knew them internally. It was, that is enough. And I knew that in those three words, my guardian angel was showing me, you are hurting the heart of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and it is enough. It is enough that you hurt him by embracing this gift he's offering to you so reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a tremendous grace for me. So after that, I was able to really speak to my parents and own my decision. So even though they still weren't very encouraging about it, I was able to say, well, I understand, but I'm choosing this. Like, I'm mm-hmm. going and I want to go. And that was very helpful.
Yeah. In today's world of evangelization, social media, very important. I saw some podcasts, God's Adventure Awaits Summit that the order did. But how important is social media in reaching out and just letting people know what your order is and what type of life it is and the blessings associated with it?
I think that God has been pushing our community to be a little bit more present technologically. So during COVID, which probably others experienced the same push, we decided to offer our retreats virtually, and we still do that occasionally, and it has been a blessing. So because of that, that's opened up different opportunities. So yes, we do sometimes upload different conferences or talks that are downloadable. I do think we've been present on a few, I'm not sure what you call them, maybe platforms at different times. I know it can be hard when a young lady is searching. It's like, where do you begin? And so just trying to have our name out there and a little bit about us so that if it is her call, it's not super hard to find. And so it has been helpful, but I know there's room for us to grow in that area still.
Mm-hmm. The rosary comes up over and over when I've done some reading about the order, and you do the rosary three times a day. How important is that in your life?
Oh, wow. It's tremendously important. And I don't find the rosary necessarily the easiest prayer for me personally to say.
My mind sometimes wanders, sister, and that's not a good thing, but you try to fight it, but sometimes it happens.
I know. So if you could hear my thoughts when I pray the rosary, sometimes they sound like this. Distraction. Oh, I'm back. Jesus. Distraction. Oh, I'm back. I'm so sorry. I'm back. And so what I've learned is to not lose my peace over that, because I'm little, you know, I'm weak. I mean, we're all weak. And so I figure, you know, if a little child keeps getting distracted and then they put their eyes back on their mother's face or look at their dad and say, I'm sorry, I'm back, I'm listening, like, how can the father or mother not receive the child back? So I try and say, every time I come back, it's a new opportunity to say, I love you. Like, yes, I strayed, but I came back because I want to love you. And so that's something that's been helpful. And then just to remember that the rosary is contemplating Christ with Mary, you know, contemplating the face of Christ with Mary is what Pope John Paul II said on his letter on the rosary. And so to remember that, you know, in its simplest form, it's just spending time with Jesus and Mary.
Well, I'm going to remember that this afternoon when I take out the rosary. Sister, thanks so much. You have a presence if somebody would like some information. VocationDirector@SisterServants.org. Is that correct?
It should be vocations@SisterServants.com.
Okay. All right. Vocations@SisterServants.com, you say?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Perfect. Sister, thank you so much. Sister Mary Faustine has been our guest of the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word. Sister, thank you for joining us, and thank all of our audience for joining us, too, here on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll join us next week at this same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.